longer report there by the Davis Tax Committee. They're flagging a concern that they have there, that they're saying that there was a lack of consultation that they've so far seen. There's been too many policy experts that have crowded out the voices of ordinary people, and they're warning, in fact, that the NHI could become ETOLs, people just thumbing their noses and refusing to pay.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, that has been noted. I guess the rebuttal to be on that is, if you actually look at the funding mechanisms that it implements, a lot of the funding mechanisms that it considers is like a surcharge on income tax, an increase in the VAT rate, additional payroll tax, which will be collected by employer. So I don't think it's going to be that easy for somebody to dodge that bullet. You know, I mean, it's obviously going to be smart in the sense that it's going to use the existing mechanisms as a collection agent. And I guess from an ETOL perspective, I mean, there was certainly a lobby to say, well, perhaps the ETOL should be funded from a fuel levy, in which case they would have had near perfect collection of it. But because it's kind of a private collection mechanism, I guess it's more easy for some people to decide not to pay.
All right. So you've flagged a substantial increase in VAT, the personal income tax going up, and a possible new tax, the social security tax, to fund. These are all possibilities to fund the NHI. But, of course, the Davis Tax Committee saying all of that is unaffordable, the NHI is unaffordable, unless there is sustainable levels of economic growth in the country.
It's saying that, and I mean, I think it's a very well-considered document. I guess that what is just making me slightly nervous is there is talk about touching our medical aid credits. And I mean, our medical aid credits, it's really a big difference in people's monthly take-home pay, where you've got medical aid and your payroll system gives you that monthly credit. Now, the Davis Committee has said it's looked at the removal of these tax credits for membership to medical schemes, etc. And what it then said is that the phasing out of the medical tax credits can only happen once the NHI is fully operational.
So there shouldn't be a gap.
Exactly. And my personal worry, I guess a lot of employers and employees' concern out there is, well, what if they start removing our credits before the NHI is not operational? Then you're effectively funding something which does not exist. If you look at I think it's the Australian model, which is also noted in the Davis Tax Committee, is when Australia introduced their Medicare in 1994, they introduced a very specific surcharge just to give that initial funding. Mm-hmm. But I mean, again, a surcharge is something that you can perhaps make more applicable to people who can afford it. My worry with medical credits, it can absolutely hit people's bread and butter if they remove, let's say you're a family of four. I guess the credits is about $800 per month. Now, if you remove that, that's going to have a massive impact on people coming by on a month-to-month basis. I guess it's up in the air. And one just hopes that National Treasury holds strong and there's not a little surprise in February next year's budget speech on this.
If I remember correctly, in the medium-term budget policy statement just last month, in fact, the National Treasury said that they weren't yet looking to remove the tax credits, the medical tax credits, because they actually found that most of the benefit goes to working class and upper middle, lower middle class families.
They've alluded to that. But, I mean, they were not very, very clear in giving that assurance. And, I mean, there are certain other role players in government that has publicly gone on record to say they're going to look at removing those medical credits.
Of course, by public royal players, you mean the Minister of Health, Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi.
I don't think he mentioned it. It was more, I think, in the, you know, at a lower level where that was mentioned. But, yeah.
There's just quite a lot of reports, of course, they're made public. And if we can maybe just briefly move to illicit financial outflows and the transfer pricing issued there. The Davis Tax Committee raising their concerns that skilled staff are leaving SARS. And then where does this leave SARS with the ability to pick up, needing obviously very highly trained people to pick up those discrepancies?
That's, base erosion and profit shifting or transfer pricing, as it's called. Firstly, this is a global issue, so it's a global phenomenon. And the OECD is basically the body that looks at that. That in South Africa is not a formal member, but it is searching or serving on its committees. Now, the issue with transfer pricing really is that profits must be shared somewhere, and every country just wants its right amount. I do think that obviously transfer pricing is a potential major source of revenue collection, not just for South Africa, but for Africa, as is noted herein. But I mean, this report also makes very interesting observations in terms of imports and exports, in terms of what gets the care to South Africa. So there certainly is some money being missed here, and you have to tighten it up.
But do you think SARS, in its present capacity, has the ability to collect that and pick those accounts up? Given the fact that these are multinationals who often have employed the best lawyers and the best accountants to try and pay as little tax as possible.
Well, I mean, it is a problem for SARS, but it's not a new problem for SARS. So they have headhunted probably what I would consider one of the top transfer pricing guys in the country, SARS, about 15 years ago, to join them. And I mean, again, that person left for the private sector. And even recently, SARS again made a very senior appointment for a transfer pricing expert, again from one of the big accounting firms, also to bolster its ranks. So I guess the question is not just to attract these guys, but to actually have a whole team that can investigate this. But I mean, it's a skill shortage. And the moment that you're dealing with that, you're dealing with private factors. I mean, a top multinational will pay international tax expert a lot of money to ensure that it's optimally planned and compliant. And SARS obviously needs to compete with that from a attraction retention perspective. So it's I'm very glad I don't have that problem.
How to retain skilled staff at SARS, that is, of course, the SARS Commissioner, Tom Oyanis, that is his problem, that is his jurisdiction. Thank you very much. That was Jerry Botha, the Managing Partner, Tax Consulting South Africa, just talking us through some of the